Well, first of all, I want to say how grateful I am for this chance for me to speak to you as attendees of the Living School. I've been invited to share some of my thoughts to pass on to you that'll be hopefully help you in your ongoing journey. And how it what came to me as I thinking about what I was going to say here to you was I know the word sendee is kind of an awkward term. Maybe you need to work at finding a better term. But of course, it's an echo of the commissioning in the gospel to go forth and preach all nations and so on, to spread the good word of Jesus Christ. And that as sendees being sent out to be contemplative Christians in the midst of the world and, you know, translating that into being a healing presence in a wounded world. And so then the question is, finding yourself in this position, this situation of being once so sent, how are you? And I say we because I see myself as an old sendee. I've just been a sendee longer. How are we to understand ourselves as sendees? And I think that how it comes to me to say that you can always tell when a person or a community has found their way to contemplative consciousness because they start saying things or doing things that bears witness to contemplative consciousness. And I think the Living School bears witness to being a community that invites people to find their way to contemplative consciousness. And I'd like to approach it on those terms. What does it mean to be a sendee? I would say, and I say this for myself too, and what drew me to the monastery right after high school, and see how this applies to yourself. But to be a sendee means that you can look back, and there was a point in your life where you began to be interiorly awakened to a desire to move into a deeper, more interior experience of oneness with God. And although it was not quite clear how to understand what was happening to us, and certainly not clear exactly how to articulate it, the gift of this yearning was there. And when we heard about or would read the sayings of the mystics, we could tell that they were talking about and bearing witness to the desire that was stirring in our hearts. And that their words, the very fact that we resonated with the eloquence or the beauty of what they were saying, that they named us as being drawn along the path that they as mystic teachers were inviting us to follow. And so then the question then became for us, see, where can I find someone to explain this to me? That is, where can I find, there's the text, there's the desire as it unfolds in our life. There is the text that bear witness to it. But where can I find a place or a community that kind of can help experientially ground myself in this, that I might be transformed deeper in it? And here I think is the archetypal journey in which in the Christian tradition they set people out on a pilgrimage, you know, heading for the gates of a monastery in India. It's people so awakened moving toward to the ashram, or in the Muslim tradition moving toward the gathering of the Sufi gathering, and the Jewish tradition toward the Kabbalistic gathering. And in other words, you find out that there's a place, that there is a place where this is offered, and you're drawn to do whatever you can to get to that place, to go deeper in this desire that draws you there. And it's in this context that you find out about the Living School. And I would say, too, as a teacher in the Living School, I also found out about the Living School and being invited to it. And In these monastic traditions, St. Benedict says, when someone comes to the gates of the monastery, do not let the person in right away, but they're to be left at the gate for several days. There's a kind of an initiation rite. And so there was an application process and a discernment process about the living school. And you found yourself in the living school. And in the living school, you were given the opportunity, really kind of a gift, really, for kind of an ongoing experiential opportunity to go deeper in practice. This kind of actual transformation of your actual subjectivity into this divinization through love, in the spirit of poverty and patience and humility and all of that. And you were invited and nurtured and guided in fidelity to practice. And you were offered teachings. You were offered teachings, and the teachings kept drawing you back to these classical teachings of texts. And you were invited to sit with those and wrestle with those and sit with them some more and listen to them more deeply and to discuss them with each other and so on, to go deeper into the teachings, which is this ancient lineage of the contemplative mystical tradition of the Christian faith. Open to the contemplative mystical lineage of all the world's great religions. And you are invited in your experience with each other to experience this community with each other, which is contemplative church, which goes back to the contemplative gathering down through the centuries, all the way back to the desert fathers, to the desert mothers, to Jesus alone at night in prayer and sitting with the disciple at night in intimate conversations in this community. And in this process of all kinds of unforeseeable ups and downs and questioning your basic assumptions and going deeper and setbacks and forwards, all of that, kind of leaving us kind of amazed and, by all this. You were sent. The ceremony was putting the stoles on and out you go. So the question is, now that you've been through this, now that you were drawn so mysteriously way, way back to providentially finding your way to the living school, now that you went through the living school, and now that you're sent, how are you to understand the nature of your situation as one's so sent? So I would say for me, I went to the monastery 18 years old. I was there for 6 years. And when I left, I feel ever since I've been living as one sent. Now, I would say further also, to go deeper with this, see that how this works is this. Every transformative journey in life is like this. Say in marriage, for example, two people meet each other. They go through this process of falling in love with each other. And in falling in love with each other, they anticipate and look forward to the day of their wedding. And then when they get married, they're sent. They're sent. Sent to what? To spend a lifetime of being unraveled and undone and surprised and broken and everything life has in store for them. Likewise, they plan on having a baby where they conceive a child. But when the child is born and they come home, with this newborn baby, they're sent as parents until the day they die, this long, slow learning curve of parenting. And so I think to be sent then, a person goes to art school. They're drawn, they have this gift, really, of a musician or a poet, or medicine or healing, whatever it is. We go through this formative period, this intense period of formation or transformation. And then we're to spend our whole lives in this long, slow arc of being undone and transformed in unforeseeable ways as one so sent in the world. And so I doubt if there's a single one of you that would claim that in being in the living school that you've mastered practice. I mean, there isn't a single one of us. I'm not mastered practice. But I do think you're into it enough to know what it means to let it master you. And that goes on endlessly. Every time you sit, it starts all over again, goes deeper, deeper, deeper. Who among you, me, myself too. Who among you would claim that you've mastered all the readings that you read? Who among us would claim we mastered one of them? But what we have learned, that we can learn to let the readings master us, because every time we open a passage, it kind of blows us away. Like it just kind of bears witness to the unsayable. You know, we're in the essence of the teaching and how we're to let that shed light on our unfinished business of duplicity and half-heartedness and God's tender mercy and all of it. And who among us could claim that the community experienced in the living school has been so internalized, you live in this perpetual consciousness of the mystical body of Christ, and although not together physically, we're woven together in the non-spatial realm of spiritual things. Who among us could claim that we live in that habitual state that when we scattered and went out, we weren't scattered at all? We're living conscious awareness of an unbreakable oneness. We can't. But we can claim that we're beginning to understand this sense of community. So to me, this has been the gift of being sent. You know, it's this gift of life itself. It's being asked to be a contemplative woman or a contemplative man, you know, in the midst of the world as one in a process of transformation, so that you can become someone in whose presence others are better able to be awakened in their own unique way that they're being called to be awakened, and to invite them and encourage them to be faithful in that. So that's my word to you as sendees. I mean, that's my own sense of myself, you know, living my life like this. And I encourage you to just reflect on it in this way. I'm sure you already have in your own way, about the privilege and the call to be one who is sent. So those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. So I wish all of you much blessings in your ongoing journey in this, and just the gratitude that we all share for this privilege of going through this experience together and continuing to go through it together throughout our life. So it's nice to have this chance to connect with you in this way. Thank you.
Copyright 2016, Center for Action and Contemplation, CAC.org.